And it's a joy to see each of you. I hope that many of you I know have been going through the prayer journal, and it's been a great blessing to me. Amy and I have been in it as well, and I think about the one that if I'm on the right day for today, Stephen, and speaking about the prayer of him, how God used the prayers to change the hearts of sinners. And one quote from it said this: Stephen's prayer reveals that God has the power to provide an answer even after we are gone, because Stephen, of course, prayed as he was heading on to glory, and they'd stoned him there, and God answered prayers of that saint. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul, who was consenting unto his death there and in charge of those things, went on to be that great preacher of the gospel. And so I trust that you are enjoying your book, whether you're on the right page or right study or not. It's all good. Somebody told me today that they are on a study that are on one of the studies that is not in line with where they started, but said even God was in that, because the particular one that they were looking into was so applicable to what they were going through that very day. And so God's so good in all of the things he does. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. Glad to see each of you. And we're certainly glad to see Miss Marianne Stout. She's back there. And of course, this is home for her, but she is moved away, but she's come back just for a couple days. And so we're certainly glad to see her back home, and hope you'll get by to see her before she heads out after service. Well, please pray for the deacons and myself, as we haven't said a whole lot about it, but I'll be meeting with them again soon, as we continue working on some next steps as far as what the Lord would have. We'll bring more to the church as it comes with a future building, if the Lord would allow us to go forward and do some of these, a building project. And so we don't have little details, no details for you tonight, but just a reminder, because it's been some while since you've heard about it, that still on my heart that we need to do something and to give our church the opportunity to have more small Sunday school group settings where people can have community and have their prayer requests heard and have more fellowship in those places in the Sunday school department of the adults. And so please just pray for us. Pray that God would give wisdom, direction, timing, all of those things. And so we'll, of course, keep you up to date on it, but I certainly covet your prayers in that. Well, if you would, look in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and we preached through the book of 1 and 2 Peter some time ago, and so this is not necessarily one of those messages, but from 2 Peter, of course. If I had been one of the apostles and was able to see the Lord, this is why none of us were that, then we might have held that up as superior to everything else, because our words would have really meant something. Can you imagine the stories that those guys would have had to have told about being with the Lord, seeing him heal, seeing him do miraculous things, just fellowshipping with him, being him? I can imagine Peter having that regret, of course, of denying the Lord. All of the things that would have rushed through their mind any time that you would have said, please tell me about the Savior. Of course, you know from history, all but John were martyred for their faith. They tried to kill him and instead exiled him after that didn't work. And so the lives of the apostles were cut short, obviously. But well, what a powerful testimony they would have had as long as God allowed them to live. I like to meet heroes of your faith. I like to meet people who have done something wonderful. I spoke this morning about Bobby Robertson. He was a pastor in North Carolina, ran thousands in that church, and a great, great faithful man of God that was used of the Lord. I enjoyed meeting him on many different occasions and hearing him preach, and he was just a great blessing. Lee Robertson, who pastored Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Tennessee Temple University. I went there for a little while, and he was a great hero to get to meet. Wow, just a powerful man, and for the ministries that was set forth. I've got to meet many different pastors. Last year when the group from Marietta came, the school that I actually ended up going to was pastored then by Myron Guiler, still is, and of course I spent time with him. And I think about all the people you like to meet, but then Peter, he didn't get to meet his hero. He got to see his Savior minister. Got to see him heal and raise and all of that. And in the great position that Peter found himself along with the other apostles, he gives some interesting, very interesting words that God does through him in this passage we're going to read. So if you'd find your place in 2 Peter chapter number 1 in verse number 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, not story time, not made up stories, when we were made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Boy, you better believe it. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard. So notice that. When we were with him in the Holy Mount. But verse number 19 is so interesting to me. God uses him to continue to write down, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Meaning something that's superior to what I just gave you. Now, in our world, eyewitness accounts, okay, I don't know how you get any more sure than that. They saw it with their very own eyes. But he says, we have a more sure word, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So in all of this thing, I told you about different preachers that I've liked. I've never met anybody famous as far as the world goes. I can't think of anybody necessarily, maybe some politicians here and there, and got to meet some folks that have some regional fame. But speaking of those preachers that I met, Curtis Hudson was the editor of the Sword of the Lord for some time, and now Shelton Smith is. I met both of these men that have used of God. So I like preachers. That's my world. And so I'm grateful to meet them. But I'm thinking about Peter and James, John, all the rest of them, but Peter specifically, as he's used to pen these things, have the testimony of knowing the Lord, seeing the Lord, watching him work. And he gives that wonderful, powerful verse, God does. In verse 19, we have this more sure word. So I want to preach two different points. So first of all, see the testimony of the eyewitness. This is verse 15 down to 18. Many times these guys would have seen the trials. They would have seen people fail. They would have seen the people try to do this, try to do that. And we would see that they always watched the Lord take care of things. Now you come to our current day, and we think about many people being on trial, and the eyewitness testimony of somebody is so used by somebody's defense or the prosecution because somebody saw what happened. You remember that Peter walked on the water with Christ, and he not only did that, but he walked with him for some 3 years and ate with him and saw him minister and saw him do miraculous things. You've heard that old saying, you've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. I don't know what T-shirt Peter wore, but if he had one, it would have been his. He got the T-shirt. He had been with him. Not only did he walk with the Lord, but he also heard the, not only walk with God the Son, heard God the Father speaking from heaven, and saw the Holy Spirit of God, the third part of the Trinity, descend at least a couple of different times. So Peter is certainly qualified to speak of what it is to hear from God. But if we left it there, that would leave everybody in this room and everybody that's not in this room, it would leave us at a great, great disadvantage because none of us have done that. None of us are going to do that. And if you watch somebody on the internet later tonight that says they are doing that, turn them off as quick as you can because they're not hearing from God. God closed the book. So if you've got somebody that says, I've got a new revelation, turn them off as quick as you can and go back to some old preacher that is preaching the truth. But so we would be at a great disadvantage if all I could preach about was the testimony of the eyewitness, because that's what the disciples were, eyewitness testimony. Peter, certainly gifted as and qualified to speak of the significance of the teaching of Jesus Christ. But faith in the book that you hold in your lap is what propels us from where we could be with just a bunch of old stories of people who said they saw something once upon a time, separates it from that to the vibrant living faith that you have right now, today, in 2026. Because there are many archaic religions who people have written down great volumes of stuff of how you should live and behave and what they say they saw. And if all that we had was just the recorded words of the apostles of what they say they saw, then we would be very limited in what we could believe and what it would actually do to change our life today as we live and have our being. But it all changes in verse number 19. Because first of all, you see the testimony of the eyewitness. But then secondly, you see the greater testimony of the written word. The greater testimony of the written word, because this is from somebody who was an eyewitness. This is not me or you who didn't get that privilege. This is not even somebody who was 100 years later that didn't get the privilege that says, well, I tell you, they had something special, but now we really have something special as well. This is not somebody conjuring up to say that they are somehow superior. This is not somebody come after the fact. This is one that was in on the ground floor, as we would say it today. This is the one that saw and heard and ministered with and watched the Lord work. But he said, we have something even better than my tales, although they were true, my tales of what had happened. He said in verse number 15, I'll endeavor that we're after I decease, after I'm gone, you'll have these things in your remembrance. And he's giving his pedigree. We haven't followed cunningly devised fables. We haven't made these stories known unto you. We were eyewitnesses. We received from God the Father, verse number 17, the honor and glory. We saw that. We heard the voice in verse number 18. But he puts a line in it. God does use Peter to do it. He puts a line in it and says, now, though, we have a more sure, a superior, confirmed word of God now that is for everybody to benefit from after the silenced voice of the apostles aren't heard anymore. I would love to have heard and speak and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have to take it by faith that the scriptures are true when it says we have this more certain or confirmed or valuable word right here laying in our laps. Because the guy that did walk with Christ was inspired of the Lord to write that this is better. All of us know what generic brands are. There are things that it doesn't have the name brand. It doesn't have the name that the company that made it famous. I remember Mom would always buy this one certain store had these white labels with black letters that said green beans. You know what was in that can? You guessed it. Green beans. And there were other ones, generic, just white label, maybe just a little bit of writing on the back to say where it was packaged and shipped from. And so a generic. It was something that was similar to the company that made it famous, but not so. I don't mind generics. There's a few products that I don't like generics of. I don't like generic Doritos, the nacho. You get them from the generic ones, the nacho-flavored tortilla chips. They just don't do the same as Doritos. You and a bag of Doritos make a great evening, you know? So a few other things I don't like, but most of them, is one is just as good as another. There's a store brand, sometimes literally the same thing. Nothing wrong with generics, except when you're talking about the knockoffs of what the true, sure word here is in your lap, then you want the real thing. Coca-Cola wasn't the first real thing. The Word of God is the first true, real thing. And so the Word of God is not a substitute for hearing Him in person. The Apostle Peter says it's a more sure, superior Word than that. Why would that be? Well, for one thing, it's forever settled. And if all we had were oral traditions passed down, then they certainly would have been misquoted from time to time. And the preservation of His Word is what gives us the authority to go on, and how we need tonight to love and appreciate the Bible that we hold today. God has been so good to us. So in our video world that we live in, where we scroll and we watch video clips of 7 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. If we don't get to the point somewhere there, we scroll on to the next one. In our video world, in our sight world, God says the written word is better. There's nothing wrong with watching videos where people depict Bible scenes. Certainly not. Long as they're biblical based, that's certainly fine. But long after whatever films or videos are made now or were made or going to be made, long after they've kind of slipped out of vogue, we'll still have the Word of God that we get to follow. And so the things that sometimes we might take for granted, we need to come back tonight with a greater appreciation and say that this sure word of prophecy, this certainty, this certain word, this complete word, this confirmed word, God says it is superior. Knowing this, verse 20, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now again, going back to those people that we could watch on the internet afterwards to say, I've got a new word from the Lord. There's some other people who don't say there's something new, but they'll say, we've got a new twist or a new revelation, not revelation, but we've got a new interpretation of something that you've never heard before. Again, if I ever hear somebody that I go to a preacher's meeting or somewhere and they say, I want to tell you something that you've never heard before, I want to try to find the back door as quick as I can. I've been in church a long time, and many of you have as well. If you haven't heard it by now, it's probably not true. Because the Scriptures aren't anything new. They have been here. They're around. And so if some preacher says, I'm going to knock your socks off something that's totally different. Now, I understand that sometimes you and I, we may do it this week. I hope we do. You're reading the Scriptures and something just pops off the page at you. But it won't be totally contrary to every other doctrine that's been taught but to you in the last 30 years. It may deepen the truth of what you read. I didn't really see that before, but it won't be totally contrary and teach you some new doctrine. And that's because the Word of God is here. So we see the greater testimony. And then in verse number 21, we see the authority, though, of the written Word. The testimony of the eyewitness account in verses 15 to 18. The greater testimony, though, of the written word. And then in verse number 21, the Bible says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All of those authors that were used by God to pin down the word over that 1,500 years or so, all of those writings that mesh together and form the Word of God that we have, it's a miraculous thing. It's a marvelous thing. It's something that you can't explain and neither can I. But it gives that authority because these men weren't pinning down what they wanted to. They were pinning down, as the Scripture says, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy, it talks about the inspiration of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this. Talks about that inspiration that God has on His Word. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so the equipping of the workers of God and the people of God and the families of God, that equipping comes through that Scripture that He has given. It's profitable for doctrine. That's what's right, what's not right. Well, it's the doctrine. It's where the Word of God is doctrine. For reproof, that's what's not right. If there's something that's not right in your life, the Scripture straightens you up. It reproves. For correction, that's how to get right. First of all, what's right, and then what's not right, and then how to get right, and then instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. So it's all in there. All we have to do is just read it and find it. And so we see the authority of the written Word of God. As we see the authority of the written Word of God, let me ask you, if you wouldn't tonight, just ask the Lord to help you fall in love with His Word all over again. Let me give you these 3 points as we close tonight. In verse number 19, we see the instruction of God's Word. We see the instruction as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. My friend, you don't have to look at this world very long to find out that this is a dark world. Now, we live in a bright spot in a dark world. Some of the men, two of the men and myself, we went to a place in this world that is much, much darker than we are here. We've been blessed because the light has made a great shining here. But still, in this world we live in, there are so many folks, and you don't have to look very far, but what they're so turned off against everything that has to do with church or God or Christ, they're in darkness. And so the scripture says in verse number 19, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And so we've got the instruction in the Word of God. All of Psalm 119 talks so much about the instruction of the Word of God and how it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, and how it's there. Its precepts are for us to teach, and it's there for our protection. It's there for our guidance. And all of this, it's all about the Word of God. And my friend, you and I, if we're not careful, because there are no flashing lights and there are no bright signs and there are no arrows that point us right down to that, we can miss this book. But it's the instruction that we need in this dark world where we live. But sometimes, and I'm glad God put it in here, we would like to have something a little flashier. We would like to have something a little bit more pizzazz. But remember who, humanly speaking, was writing these words, the one that did see the miracles of Christ. But he said to us tonight, and all the generations that have read it, that what was put down is a more confirmed or sure or certain word than what they had had by giving eyewitness account. The instruction of God's Word. But not only the instruction of God's Word, if you'd look down in verse number 20, we're going to see the transparency of God's Word. I've made a little bit of a light comment or reference to it about people saying that there's a new twist on something. But verse number 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, nothing that's prophecy that's going to come, no interpretation either, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You could say it like this: there's not one man's idea that's going to win out. It's not something that you can say. Now, there's a big phrase right now that around in our world, and that says, this is my truth. And that means that somebody says, well, this is what truth is to me. Now, if you're meaning that this is the greatest chicken restaurant ever, that's your truth, that's an opinion, and you can call it your truth if you want. You don't even have to say this is my opinion, because if you say this is the best restaurant you can ever eat at, we already know that's your opinion. But when we shift over from choices of restaurants or choices of cars or choices of that really don't matter in the whole scheme of things. When we get over to what is right and wrong, and somebody says, this is my truth, it might not be your truth, but it's my truth. The problem is that in whatever you're talking about, there's only one truth. If you go outside, there is plenty of cars in the parking lot. Each one of them are one brand. Each one of them is one color. Maybe you've got a multicolored one, but each one of them has specific things about themselves, and you can't get out there and say, you know, to me, this car's red. Larry's Corvette is not red. It's bright blue. And it doesn't matter how much you try to convince me that it's not, you're wrong. It's the color that the factory put on it when they sent it out from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And we can claim all we want that something that you see a different way is not the way that it really is, but it doesn't matter how often we say it. Just because we say it often and loud does not make something true. in that same vein of thinking, the Word of God is not open for some private interpretation. There are lots of cults around across our world that they'll take one little sliver of truth and they'll build a whole package of teaching about that, and they'll say, this is what God gave me individually or privately. The only problem is the Scripture says that's not the way it's going to happen. There's no prophecy of the Scripture that's of any private interpretation. I'm saying tonight that there's the transparency of God's Word. You can be a farm boy or a PhD. You may find some different value in certain areas of the Scripture, but you'll never find something that's different than what the other person will. Again, the longer we study, the longer we read, the longer we know the Lord, we may get a deeper appreciation for the truth, and we certainly can learn more. We'll never stop learning. We shouldn't ever stop learning. But you won't come to a place where you're the only one that's got that, and nobody else that's studying the Scriptures ever found that. There's the transparency of God's Word. And they give you this last one in verse 21. And that is the origin of God's Word. Most everybody in this room would be clear on this, but the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As I said, talked about over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. We understand that God used men to pen it down, 40 or so authors, 1,500 years of writing and putting it all together, and then it is the Scriptures that God has preserved and given to us today. You say, do you understand how all that came from those scrolls that were written back there? I don't. I mean, I know there are very intelligent people who can trace back the historical path of it, and I'm thankful for all of those folks. But I'm even more thankful for the fact that I have a Bible right here that we can read, and that I didn't have to have all of the knowledge that God has gifted many people with to trace it all the way down through. And I'm not making light of that at all. I'm grateful for them. But I'm even more grateful that a little boy as I grew up, not this Bible, but a little small Bible that I could read, and more of it that I didn't understand than I did understand. But I started understanding the parts about Jesus loving you, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so now I understand more that the holy men of God did speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and God inspired those men, and all that teaching came down through those things that I didn't know back then, and I'm learning a little bit more now, and hopefully we shall always be learning. But with boldness, you can pick up that Bible and say that we can raise our families on this book. We can live our lives by this book. Of course, if you can trust the Savior to take you to heaven, which the majority of the people in this room, you have done that. You put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you could trust the Lord with your soul salvation, then you can trust the Lord with how to run your life, how to raise your family, how to behave yourself in your business, how to take yourself out of situations that you shouldn't be in, how to inject yourself into situations you should be into. This word is from God. And so tonight, my only purpose in preaching is to say that just like Scripture says, we have a more sure word than had God chose another path, and had he chose oral tradition to be passed down from generation to generation to generations, and it all started back with the apostles that watched the Lord work, that would have been something. But a lot would have been missed. A lot would have been changed, and things would have gone missing, and other things would have got added. And that's why God says there's this more sure word, and we ought to take heed. And we see the origin of it is that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So as we close tonight, I'm asking all of us to just say, Lord, do a work in me. give me a new appreciation for your word. Do you know that there have been churches started because there were areas that don't have a Bible preaching church, and men felt so led, so burdened by the Lord that they went and took their family to start a church. There have been missionaries that have left the comforts of America and they've taken their Bible and gone to places where there wasn't a Bible preaching, proclaiming church. And there have been other people who left their family who didn't know God and didn't want to know God, and they set out on a new path and they started living their life and raising their families around the family altar of their Bible. There have been homes started. There have been churches started. There have been ministries started. There have been missionaries that sent out, and all that they had was the Bible. What a testimony to the book. And so that's the same book that you and I could, if we chose to tonight, commit to say, Lord, I will live my life based on your more sure word. Father, I pray that you would bless us. Lord, you have blessed us. Already you have. You've given us the word. And Lord, tonight it just seemed like we should dwell a little bit on it. And just thank you for the word that it transforms, the word that guides, the word that comforts, the word that convicts, the word that does all of these things, dear Lord. I want us to fall in love with it all over again. Now, friends, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I just want to be real with you. I don't need you to raise your hand. You can just talk to the Lord. But how many of us truly, if we were honest, I'm not going to trick you and have you raise your hand a little bit. This is just between you and the Lord. But I just want to ask you some things. How many of us, if we were honest, we've gotten a little cold toward the Word of God? We've forgotten what it really is. We've forgotten that it's that lamp to guide us. It's that light to show us the way. It's the Word of God. It's God's direction for us. One little kids program said the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. It's God's word. It's our guide. It's better than us having traditions from all of the apostles, all those couple thousand years ago, to hear it from generation to generation to generation. Better than that, it's written down, preserved for us. God's got it here. And if we're honest, some of us have neglected it. We've let the fact that there are 66 long books, some of them are long, keep us from getting in any of the books. We say, well, I'm forgetful. I don't get as much out of it. I don't know. I talked to a good Christian the other day. Eyesight's bad, but he started listening to it because his eyes won't let him to see what they used to see. But he wants to get the Bible in. As the ladies begin to play, and I challenge you to make some commitments to the Lord. Lord, I want to get in the Bible again. I challenge you to fall in love with it all over. Maybe you've gotten cool toward it. Oh, you love it. Yes, you carry it. But we ought to do more than carry it. We ought to read it. Get in it. Let it get in us. If you're able to, I'll ask you to stand as they play. And I'd love for a host of Christians just come and gather around the altar and say, I want to recommit my life to be in the Bible. I want to make a commitment that it's my book. It's God's word, but it's God's word to me. Would you come and pray? Neil, you say, do I have to? No, you don't have to, of course, but you're welcome to. Come and commit to getting back into this book. Maybe it's been a little while. Maybe you've been sporadic. Maybe you haven't been loving it like you should. As these ones pray, and you're praying, I hope. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I didn't preach about that, but the greatest truth in this book is that little verse that I quoted, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's from God in his word that he tells you, if you like to put your faith in Christ, he would receive you and save you. If you're here and you're not saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you're here this evening and you're saved. You know that. But you've never been baptized. You've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. 2 weeks from today, there's one of the young ladies from the church going to get baptized. Maybe you'd like to join that baptismal service. So I like to follow Christ in baptism. I need to get done. Why don't you come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come present yourself for membership. Whatever the Lord's leading you to do, you come. We just haven't played one more verse. The Word of God. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in God's house, and I know I didn't preach anything tonight new that we didn't know, but I just felt led of the Lord that we would rally around the book and remind ourselves what we're living our lives by, the Word of God. Thank you for listening tonight. Amy and I will be back in the lobby, and if, ladies, you would like to sign up, if you weren't able to RSVP through the church app, you can let Amy know that you're coming on that this Tuesday, April 21st, to that Proverbs 31 workshop. I know that you'll have a good time together, and there's several other things going on, maybe some sign-ups there if you need to. But I did want to mention, as Kyle said, about the Marietta Bible College being here on a Tuesday, not a Wednesday. I believe you're going to be blessed by that on May the 5th, and we'll have a good time together. So praise the Lord for that, and thank you for being in your place tonight, and we're going to be dismissed, and we'll be dismissed. Daniel, can you come and lead us in a song tonight? Let's see, one of the ones that we sang. We'll sing this as our going home song. I love to tell the story, hymn number 561, and so we'll sing the first verse of that, and that'll be our going home song. Amy and I'll be back in the lobby if we can do anything to help you.
Hi.